The Gulf Coast Growth Show is sponsored by Chevron Pasadena Refinery and is an extension of the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region, where our mission is to market and grow a vibrant regional economy.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. I'm your host, Jason Lee, and I'm joined by co-host, Zeke Smith.
What's up, Jason?
Glad to have you today. And we are joined by Jeremy Osterberger, the president and COO of BIC Alliance, one of our big, I guess, family friends, right?
That's right.
Over here at the Economic Alliance. You guys are just a cornerstone and pillar of the region, similar to who we are. And again, most of the folks listening are going to be familiar with BIC. But before we dive too far into our topics today, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the projects that are coming up. Really the outlook of Petrochem. I think you're kind of involved in so much of the stuff and then the opportunities and perhaps challenges facing our industry. So you got a great lineup of discussions. I think you're well qualified to talk about those today. But for those that perhaps aren't as familiar with what you guys do and maybe your background, just give us a quick snapshot. Who is BIC, your story, and then tell us a little bit about your story.
Thank you, Jason and Zeke, for having me. And congrats on such a great show, guys. You guys have a fantastic guest on and tough acts to follow,
yeah.
All the folks that have been here. So, no, absolutely, man. So a lot of people know BIC, but for a little bit of education, of course, BIC Alliance is our parent company, right?
Yeah.
Our whole mission and our approach is to connect people in industry with one another for the betterment of all, right? And so with that mission statement in mind, we feel there's three ways to do that, right?
Okay.
Through marketing and sales, which ties to our publishing side of our business, which is BIC Magazine,
right,
which now means print, digital, webinars, videos, podcasts, all the things we do, through recruiting, right? People have to find the right people to grow their business, right? And so executive permanent placement recruiting for C-suite, sales management, project managers, all in this industrial space, right?
Fantastic.
And then the third leg of our triangle is all these relationships that we built over the past 40 years with business owners has led us to a very natural business, and that is sell side representation for mergers and acquisitions, right? So we grow relationships with business owners who are looking to potentially take on a private equity group, partnership, some sort of equity event. Maybe they want to have a strategic sell of their business to a buyer that makes a lot of sense to grow their business.
Right.
We've done about 21 transactions in about the last 20 years, about $420 million in transactional value.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's certainly a focus of our organization.
Fantastic. Well, great diverse focus and then led by some wonderful guys who really have a phenomenal footprint. You, Thomas, and then Earl, who founded the organization. So just a great group of humans. Who, I mean, I know Thomas is involved in the community. You're involved in the community. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But why don't we dive into our topics today and fire us off. So first of all, let's talk about some of the recent industrial projects and things that are taking place.
Yeah, man. So, Jason, there's so much and so many things that y'all already covered and are out there. But I'm going to go through a few things, and perhaps there's some opportunities here that I can state, because we all want to just make this place grow, right? That's the whole point of this show. That's the whole point of the region. So, our model is, how do we serve others? How do we, grow everyone's business and give opportunities for those out there that are trying to make it happen. So yeah, look, a lot of long-awaited plant optimizations and expansions happened over the past 18 months. We're kind of back to 2019 levels now, in the refining industry, right? But I think a lot of people say, right, but it's 2023, right? So what does that mean, right? And what is our capacity and the demand for some of the refined products that we have is ask a lot of questions when you say that, right? But to get back to 2019 levels is a milestone. Heading into 2023, this was going to be and has so far shown one of the biggest years since 2019 for planned maintenance, right? And 2024 and 2025 is expected to be, similar to 2023.
Okay.
And we talk about petrochemicals. Look, demand for crude and natural gas is just going to continue to rise, right? For plastics, petrochemical production, even despite some slowing demand for maybe gasoline and transportation fuels, right? We're going to see so much advancement in plastics all across the world. Look, even if we lightweight our vehicles and go to more EVs, right, you're still going to need all these petrochemicals that we're producing.
For sure, right. Yeah.
So of course, ethylene is a building block for all these plastics. That's expected to kind of drive downstream growth for many years, to come. And that, of course, means like olefins and monomerics, right, the building blocks of plastics we're all going to see. And I know y'all have covered some of those projects on this show as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, the consumables aren't going anywhere, that's for sure, right? The sustainability word we've used a lot on the show, some of the products are going to continue to evolve, and then the demand for those will grow too, right?
Yeah. I was at American Chemistry Council discussion, and what they're saying is, you know, we are seeing kind of a tough year in chemicals for 2023. There's, you know, some weakness that's emerged, you know, kind of just from, you know, some demand pullback, right? But the thing is, though, you know, long term, right? This is a space, right? And we're gonna see this continue to grow. There's been capacity expansions in manufacturing that's going to boost chemistry demand. The Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA, right, is gonna push our industry for more reshoring, right, and expansion of facilities right here. And it also creates some navigation challenges about some of the requirements to earn the tax credits and benefits from the IRA. And I know, Zeke, you know a lot about that with your construction background. So,
Yeah. That's a hot topic for the owners to, you know, how are the contractors gonna help make sure they're compliant, and are they using apprentice programs? And there's lots of different nuances in that bill, which are going to be interesting to navigate, to use your word. So, yeah, I think it's one of the positives is there's going to be plenty of business. The owners are looking at these renewable type projects. And so it's a good thing. That will lead to expansion of the region for sure. For sure.
Yeah, there's like tons of projects breaking ground. I think the Golden Triangle, you know, is a pretty hot market. We're going to rename it the Platinum Triangle if this continues, right? But I think I read we need 54,000 people as far as craft labor to be in this Gulf Coast region in order to satisfy the project demand. And I think, Zeke, you're probably hearing a lot of that too. Yeah, well, how are we going to provide these individuals?
And certainly to Stuart at Cajun about that, right? He said it was the number one priority on the show. I don't know, it was when the week you were out, Jason, but he said, the craft labor shortage is what keeps them up at night. And, you know, I think that's pretty consistent need, fear, all the above, right? So the outreach that Economic Alliance does, the BIC does, other companies do to get more folks in our industry is extremely important right now.
And I think one of the real values of this show and the things that we do at BIC is, you know, I'm just passionate about educating younger people about all the opportunities in our marketplace. And I think that talking about it is key, right? And we have to reach them out on some modern means of media, and I think this is one of them. So, appreciate the participation.
And I think you mentioned it, you just hit the nail on the head. The important thing for owners to understand is, and I get this all the time when people start to get, they ask me about this organization, and then they say, okay, you know, well, what do you get out of it? And my answer to them is always, it's not a matter, it shouldn't be a matter of what you get out of it as much as it should be what you put into it. Because as a region, we got to put back into the opportunities that exist for all of our businesses. So people are always looking for some kind of immediate monetary value. Like, well, are you getting sales out of it? You know, that's the first place people go, you know?
Sure.
And I'm like, well, yes, that's possible. This is a great organization for doing that. There's tons of it, along with you guys and BIC and the business.
Members do a business with members.
Do business with members. That's a fact. So that part's going to happen. More importantly, it's how do you get plugged in? How do we all start rowing together to address this workforce issue? Or how do we all start rowing together to get the right message out, to get young people involved in this? And if we're not out telling the story, then it's just going to continue to be a problem.
And you know, we cite episodes in this show, and I know I have a short tenure here, but we had Kate on from Exxon. You said, hey, I want to bring my daughter out so that she'll know there's opportunities for her to do what you do, right? Very powerful female leader in this region, well known, out doing, you know, speaking tours, things like that.
Right.
That's what you get out of it. Doesn't have to be today. It's not money in your pocket today. That's, and my kids, my dad want to be a, or my son want to be a ship captain, or, you know, a pilot, right? Listening to the Houston Pilots, listen to Thomas with the maritime stuff. Like that's important. That's what you get out of it. It's like the long term opportunity to grow this region for our kids, because we're here. We've all made, thank goodness, despite being ugly and not that smart, made successful careers for ourselves. And, you know, want that same for our kids.
So I wish my mom, when I wanted to be a pirate when I was a kid, had a clue about what kind of money I would have made as a pilot.
Oh, they said pirate. I was you would have made a lot of money as a pirate.
I was about to say.
She would have groomed me up and said, okay, we're going to take all and channel all that pirate energy, and we're going to get you out into the ship channel
and be a pilot. Yeah. You'd
be piloting a boat, making pirate money.
So, there you go. Jason, if you still have pirate dreams, I'm in with you. We can make this happen.
We can do this happen. Well, so we were talking about wrestlers earlier. Maybe we can come
we can get back to that. Yeah, absolutely.
Favorite pirate history. Yeah.
So, talk about, I think we're overall talking about the market, but in general, as we start to forecast out in the future, you mentioned maybe a slowdown in the next year or two in regards to what you were saying from the petrochem side, what you heard last week. Tell us more about the general consensus of petrochem over the next few years.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I think. outlooks from what, you know, American Chemistry Council is supporting from various other organizations that are forecasting, opportunities. I think you're going to see more and more expansions. More and more things are tied though to, you know, the ESG demands, right? So I think something like 62% of most projects happening have some sort of ESG component related to it, right? Okay. And, you know, carbon capture and sequestration is probably the quickest way for a facility, right, to curtail and control its emissions goals and offset, right, some of their emissions. So, you know, when you flip through ESG data, I mean, $85 billion in projects are expected or have broken ground this year in 2023, $20 billion in carbon dioxide pipelines. I read somewhere where we need something like 70,000 miles of CO2 pipeline to be able to move carbon dioxide.
That's
what I understand, right? Yeah. And so there is some questions of whether or not existing pipelines can keep that, you know, within the existing infrastructure of the country.
Wow.
Hence why we need so much, right? I don't know. I think 3,700 of that is actually broken ground. So 3,700 miles of that is actually broken ground. So, you know, sometimes those numbers, who knows if they'll actually execute of that 70,000, right? So just a little comment on that. I found that pretty interesting.
That's insane.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then, you know, you're seeing, you know, most plants are using gray hydrogen derived from fossil fuels to meet their hydrogen demands. You know, there's a shift now for, you know, blue hydrogen is probably going to be the winner, right? And most of Exxon is doing that in Baytown, trying to produce blue hydrogen expansion. To get to green hydrogen is a bit more of a challenge, right? To have solely solar or renewable based hydrogen is going to be a challenge for us to get to on a large scale. There's a few projects out there that are going to potentially be a model for whether or not we can achieve what we think through that. So,
wow. And then challenges. What things do we foresee?
Headwinds. I think I'm hearing quality of labor, right? And Zeke, you probably heard the same thing. The plants are saying, hey man, you're sending me contractors, but what used to be the A team is the B team, right? I think there's a tremendous challenge on contractors to find people, train them, incumbent training. You know, we've talked a lot about that. I know you've probably talked about that on this show. Right. Some of the things that we're doing in the local area for incumbent training, you know, upskilling is a word that I think most people are going to have to be focused on over the next 3 to 5 years. As like you kind of alluded to, Zeke, earlier, I mean, kids in high school, we're not all going to be TED talkers. We're not all going to be Instagram influencers. And so what are real opportunities there? I think for me, it's educating younger people on the opportunities and what this industry brings for individuals who are looking to have a family of three or four and provide for them, right? And so I know I'm passionate about that. You guys are as well. So.
That's huge. There was a recent survey. I know you're a survey and data guy, Jeremy. So there's a survey that parents' number one option for their kids is still college as a whole. And so trying to get that narrative out there to say, great, college is great. But having gone to college and probably made a decent amount of money coming out of college, but I didn't keep much of it, right? Because I had debt and credit cards and junk. These youngsters can come out, start making money, right? As an apprentice or whatever, and keeping more of it. And then ideally they leverage that company or the company they work for to end up paying for their college later anyways, or at least supplement that.
Sure.
It's a much, now looking back, I'm like such an idiot. Like it's a much more intelligent path.
Sure.
These days you have access to so much more knowledge about how your kids learn and how they adapt to certain things.
Yeah, sure.
Whether they're kinesthetic or how the style of which they do things.
Right.
And I hear so many stories of guys that are my age, early 30s. And
plus a little.
Yeah, plus a few years, minus. But that they went to go get a degree. They got out with their degree. And then they ended up doing what they were originally designed to do, how God made them, is they're working with their hands, they're not using the degree at all. And they were 5 years behind and $100,000 in debt on something that they don't even apply because they're out there doing stuff with their hands. Had they gone into a trade school in the first place, they would have been 3 years out in front, no debt.
And I always go back to that movie Office Space, how the guy ends up working on a construction site at the end of hates his job in an office, and at the end he's working with his hands, he loves it.
Exactly. And so I think it's looking at your kid and going, okay, hey, let's figure out where they need to be.
Sure.
And then not creating some misnomer that makes you less of it. I mean, there's tons of guys making great money, great careers, paying for their family's futures, doing all this stuff as trade out here in this region.
And you know, it's there's so many organizations that are involved in this. You know, ECMA, Petrochem Works, Industry Makes over in Louisiana, which is supported by Jacobria and the LCIA and LCA and that region. And that is educating people of all the benefits and the value of the organization, right? And so I think that that's how we have to, you know, reach young people. Is, you know, if you're out there dogging or being negative to this industry on your cell phone, remember, you're welcome. That cell phone is made, you know, by this industry, right? And so I think it starts there, you know, and how do we convey messages to them is something that, you know, BIT cares about. And I think collectively, we all understand the need. And we talk about 54,000 people needed in the Golden Triangle alone. I think that that's a real concern for industry, you know, next 3, 5, 10, 12 years out.
Yeah, that's, I was shameless plug for the magazines, like our whole title article in March, April, sure, with Apache was all about that and workforce, sure, and how we're trying to evolve that and what things we're doing different to try to attract people to the industry. Because I'll tell you what, the owners, you know, the Chevrons and the Exxons and the Worlds and the Carters, they're doing it. They're pushing the workforce and trying to get out there and do outreach. So they expect contractors and folks that work with them to do the same thing. And so nice, we got to catch up fast.
Right. Yeah, you're seeing that demand and participation.
100%.
Yeah. And look, Apache has so many craft hours and so much manpower that y'all need to be a part of that, right? So.
Absolutely, for sure. Yeah.
So let's talk about anything major that you guys have coming up. BIC's always got some of the best events. This is the time of year when events start really getting, you know, after we get on the other side of
summer.
God, the sweltering heat, and start getting some normalcy around temperatures.
Yeah, I think my car melted today. Yeah.
So,
pool of metal.
It's a little crazy out there. So talk to us about what's coming up and what's in the pipeline over the next few months from BIC.
Just wrapped up the Prime Expo this past week, right? Had about 1,200 people out for that. Wow. A couple hundred owners, really successful event focused on maintenance, reliability, and plant operations. Yep.
Okay.
We've got our Fish Fry coming up November 9th. We're trying to do a crawfish boil in the spring, which I know you've been a part of before.
Oh, yeah.
Jason, in the fall, we do a Fish Fry November 9th. And of course, supporting the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region, right? We've got the Industrial Procurement Forum Breakfast coming up, the Gulf Coast Industry Forum's coming up soon. So it's going to be exciting.
All exciting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going to do some interviews there. So we'll probably interview you, have you interview us. We'll do a little dual thing. Cause I know you're always doing the red carpet walk, step and repeat with your mic. I'm glad you're on the show. Cause I know people, I see if you're not super involved with us or BIC, you always see Jeremy walk around the mic and he's always mingling and talking to somebody, I crowd around him. So now people are like, oh, that's what that guy does.
That's what that guy does. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah,
all right. So, yeah. It's great.
Everybody thought he was a poser. They're like,
no. Yeah. Right.
What is this guy doing? Like,
yeah. Absolutely. His cool podcast in his basement.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's official. Now everybody knows
it's like Wayne's World.
Yeah,
off our
exactly. That's right. We've just given you your press credentials now, buddy. Now you got.
Oh, I'm in. Yeah. I'm in. That's awesome. When they hold them all, I think of the backstage passes.
So, talk to us about any. You know, you've got that stuff going on. Talk to us about on from a professional level, personal level. What things are going on in your world? Because because you're such a community guy. Tell us about some of the other things.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, look, man, when you don't see me do what I do during the day, Jason, my focus is my family, right? So I've got three little ones that keep me busy. And thank God for a wonderful wife, Allison, she does it all. I'm just that guy who kind of helps out. That's the way I look. She's incredible. So family's first, a lot of activities. And, you know, balancing those activities, of course, at night with work is always a challenge that we all feel, right?
Second shift.
Yeah, no question. But my passions are love coaching youth sports, man, doing the Y9 with my 6-year-old right now. And yeah, had the greatest quote ever in between our first and second inning. And I heard one kid lift up a shirt and go, "I got abs. You got abs?" You know what I'm saying? So anytime I can be a part of youth sports, man, hearing them cut up is a joy in my life for sure, man. BIC as a whole, you know, we're really focused on supporting some local charities here. Thomas Brinsko, my CEO, is very focused in the Get Together Bay Area.
It's phenomenal.
Right, exactly. So they facilitate other nonprofits, right, to gain support for them, right? And so they sort of, the Get Together gives them a platform, right, to be able to explain to the community what their, you know, their sort of micro focus is. That kind of makes sense, right? And connecting, you know, I said earlier, that's our mission, right? Well, connecting businesses to that benevolent cause is something that Thomas is very passionate about. And not just him, really, our many of our staff members have support the Get Together. And so many folks in our industry support that group as well. So that's TGTBA.org for that website.
You know, great organization. I've been a part of it. Been to several of their meetings, and some of the organizations and ministries that I'm a part of were I got plugged in through from getting plugged in through the get-together. So I would highly encourage, if you're looking for a platform and an outlet to, because you just don't know where to get plugged in, go to the get-together, and you'll get to see kind of an array of different nonprofits and different organizations. And then God will typically call you to whatever is going to be on your heart. And that's usually where you end up. That's how it happened for me. One of the, active in a group called Project Joy and Hope. I can't remember when, how long ago it was, but I remember Jan, their leader, was speaking at a get together deal, and I was like, I like her, you know. And so, boom, and went through a couple of years because of that.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, Thomas is amazing, and you guys are all amazing in what y'all do and your footprint. And
yeah, keep it up. But
just major community guys, and we really appreciate that. As we get ready to wrap up, is there anybody, any other topics that you want to make sure we hit before we exit the show? Anything, any highlights or anything you want to capture?
Yeah, you know, Jason, no, not necessarily. I think just for us, and I would just encourage all of your audiences, if you're in this space, you're trying to find out what's going on, what events to come to, where you need to be in the next 6 months, hit back picmagazine.com. We've got events. Go to our projects and expansion section. We've got daily updates on what projects are breaking ground, in feed, being completed, right? Again, just trying to be a resource to the community. And I would just say so thankful for all of our sponsors and marketing partners that really make BIC's whole model is, we're a community of contractors and associations and individuals that are trying to progress in this report, right? And so as you consume BIC, just remember that and keep that in mind that's really the goal of what we're doing. And I think our website's a great place to start to learn about what's going on, what we do.
It's great.
It doesn't take you long to understand how we fit into this industrial.
It's a hub. Like the word alliance is what it is, right? You can start there. And there's so much, we've talked about this, there's so much sync between multiple organizations, right? You've got the ECMO you referenced, right? Which are the owners group. You've got the Economic Alliance. You've got ABC. Sure. You've got TC, the Texas Chemical Council. You've got all these different groups. You've got the Houston Area Safety Council. When you get into a BIC or website of the magazine, you're going to see this red thread. It's, oh, wow, they're connected here. Jason's involved in this and then this. And then there's Zeke and this. And Jeremy's in this. And just, you start to see the connectivity of this region and the industry, which is awesome.
And one of the things I do when I bring somebody on board, when I say bring them on board, when I meet new people in the organization, I try to, I guess, help be an ambassador for them. And I've got a list of people who I make sure that they go meet. And then one of the first places I send them to is I send them to your website.
Yeah.
And I'll say, hey, along with Economic Alliance, you need to stay plugged in and BIC.
Go study up.
This is how you're going to stay on top of what's happening, where to be at, and why to be there. I for somebody new who's entering the space, it's like a one-stop shop. You can go to Economic Alliance, stop into BIC. And once you have those two things kind of working in concert together, you have a roadmap for business development really out in this area.
Yeah, that's right. If you get plugged into these groups you mentioned, you're going to find success.
Yeah.
So
fantastic.
And I think we can't let Jeremy go without asking. Let's have the wrestling discussion. I mean, who is the greatest wrestler?
Greatest wrestler of all time.
And we're just going to say single wrestler. We'll do tag team deals next time it comes up. Single greatest wrestler of all time. I'm going to put you in the hot seat today. The real hard hitting question.
I mean, I think the obvious one is the man who created Hulkamania. It has to be Hulk Hogan. And if you have to, you know, name a single wrestler. I don't know, the most popular of all time, probably The Rock. Am I wrong? I mean, Dwayne Johnson.
He's certainly the richest of all time.
Yeah, definitely the richest.
I don't know, Moana had a lot to do with that. You know, it's not just wrestling.
You're welcome.
Yeah, but I guess just generational influence, right? I mean, the Hulk is, I mean, he put wrestling on the map.
I'm a big Undertaker fan, you know. I actually believed he was from the dead.
For sure.
I was like, this guy came from the dead.
So,
you know, then I felt he definitely slept in a coffin.
The tortilla slap challenge thing?
Yeah, yeah.
So I came across a video the other day. The guy's a giant man, and he did that with his wife. So she's got the water in her mouth, or he's got, and he just slaps her with that tortilla. And, you know, he just barely gives her a little thing, and it just knocked the crap out of her.
Remember,
and then I was thinking, what was amazing was, because I've seen him against other guys. He's a huge human being, and she was like shoulder height. I'm like, what was this one like? Like, what did she do for him?
Yeah,
because she was a massive woman.
Yeah,
but the most patriotic wrestler of all time was Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh yeah,
he had the 2x4 and the American flag.
Yeah, So I'm going to put it, I'm going to put two names out here because they were my favorites. Sting, because I'm going to WCW.
Oh, wow. Wow. You went, WCW.
Yep, yep. Yeah. So I was a big Sting fan. And then you got to give a case. Maybe at the top, but Macho Man Randy Savage has to be in
Randy
the discussion.
Because
Hulk and Randy Savage to me were the two. They were just, and you can throw in an Ultimate Warrior, but Super Ric Flair came in and out of the WWF or WWE, right? He came in and out. He was actually WCW.
Yeah.
Sting.
No, so we're talking about greatest wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Ric Flair fan, so I'm with you.
Let me wait. Exactly. Look,
done that on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. The tag teams were a whole other animal, man. Bushwhackers, right? Road Warriors.
Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, the same. Yeah.
Unbelievable, man.
How about an animal?
So right now, people are driving down the car going, no.
Yeah. Oh, this is spur debate. That's what we do here.
Yeah. 20,000 people disagree with everything we're saying because everyone, I mean, Coco Beware had a bird on his shoulder. I mean, come on. That's pretty amazing.
What about the Junkyard Dog?
Yeah.
I mean, that's right. So here's the thing. If we had 20,000 listeners, that'd be cool. I mean, but all 16 are like, they're going to get a lot of emails.
Yeah, they're like,
but my mom who listens to this
is
going to disagree with this.
Yeah, my dad.
Like, you're an idiot. Down to this office.
Right. To protest. Yeah,
there you go. Well, hey, man, great discussion.
Can we come back here? Just our moms.
We had his mom on. And
my mom was on.
She's awesome.
So was his dad. It was pretty amazing.
Oh my, that's incredible.
But Jeremy, you guys are awesome. Yeah. You're always an awesome guest. We look forward to seeing you at all of our events. Look forward to being out to your events and just continuing to support the region and getting the word out there. For our audience, again, if you're not regularly plugged in, plug into BIC. You gotta stay in tune. If you're new to this organization, if you know somebody who's new, If I worked in this area and I'm listening to this podcast and I'm onboarding a new person, two places I'm sending them. I'm sending them to the Gulf Coast Growth Show to stay up to speed on things that are happening. I'm sending them to BIC Magazine or BIC in their organization to stay tuned with the events, because if you're going to be in it, you might as well go deep. And that's what we're doing. We constantly bring deep information and relevant information to keep our story alive. And so again, pay this forward, pass it on to somebody who needs to hear it. You can tune into us, and if you want to stay connected with Zeke and I, the best way to reach us, whether either guest recommendations or thoughts or ideas or feedback, is through our LinkedIn, and we'd love to hear
your comments on our wrestling discussion.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it. So hit us with your favorite wrestling. And we appreciate you guys tuning in today, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to go to the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region website and subscribe to our channels. And let's pay it forward by sharing the good news of what's happening in our region by passing this episode to somebody you know.